so that makes your day a little bit brighter. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carrie.
Carrie is an internationally best-selling children's book author.
Sean used to be a cop, but now he's not.
And as usual, we're joined by our dog, Sparty. Sparty's a guy.
Random thought in the car time.
I prefer the one.
That's because you just like to say in bed. Do you know my parents always used to say, make us say in bed after the fortune cookie?
Under the sheets.
Under the sheets?
Same thing.
Did your family, is that a southern thing? Did they say under the sheets after you read your fortune?
No, my family didn't say squat after
My family always said in bed, like it'd be like, make pleasantries and smile at everyone in bed, or you will have much success in life in bed. Fortune and then they would cackle.
Fortune cookies aren't even that old, really. You know?
What?
Americans just invented fortune cookies a couple decades ago.
Wait, Americans invented fortune cookies?
Yeah, if you stop, when we're done with this recording, you look it up online, you'll find out that Americans invented fortune cookies. 20th century, late 20th century.
So,
it's a gimmick.
That's like one of our things that we're proud of as Americans.
Maybe it was Chinese Americans that did it as a gimmick for us. Silly Americans.
You know what else Americans invented?
What?
The plastic that goes around your dry cleaning.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that one of your relatives?
Yes, that was my step uncle. Yeah. And the MMR vaccine. Americans invented that.
Oh, now you're just gonna.
And the polio vaccine.
What are you doing?
America!
Are you just causing, trying to cause
what? Oh, from the anti-vaxxers? Yes. They're not going to listen to us anyway. The anti-vaxxers sent my uncle death threats.
Aren't anti-vaxxers mostly liberals?
I don't know what they are, honestly.
A good portion of your peeps.
They're not my liberals. Peeps, man.
I know those.
My peeps are on.
There's no way we can.
But I said America on it.
And well, you can say America again.
But it won't be random. It won't be a random America.
Yeah, well, all Americas are random.
Do you think we can use this? Nobody's even sworn in this.
I know, but you, a lot of your peeps.
I'm alienating the anti-vaxxers.
Well, first you gotta determine if they're conservatives or liberals.
I don't know if they fall under one group, honestly.
I like it. It's the
it's popo. Popo. It's the federal popo right there.
So this sign right here when you come in says, must display your park pass. Oh. How are you going to have a detour and have tens of thousands of cars rolling through every day? They're going to sit there and pull everybody. You got to have a park pass.
They can't do that.
Of course they can't.
All right, let's give people background. So where we live is in Bar Harbor, Maine, and there's a national park in Bar Harbor, Maine. But there's also really one route that circumnavigates the island called Route 3, and it kind of morphs into other routes. But it's the major way to get from the mainland into Bar Harbor and into Acadia National Park. But they're doing road construction, which you can hear under us now, right? Brum, 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 like that. And because of that, they shut down part of the road, and so they're detouring people through the national park. However, as Sean just explained, you're supposed to have a park pass that costs tons of money in order to go through the park.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Dude!
They're raising the price like $80.
He burped.
I did burp. Excuse me.
You're not supposed to burp in front of other people.
I couldn't help it.
You hold your burp in.
I tried. That was the subdued burp.
Oh, braggart. So we don't quite understand what the feds are doing here, is our point.
Like, want some of this beer, baby?
He doesn't really have a beer. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You're incorrigible.
Road soda. You want some of this road soda?
He doesn't have road soda. I need to put the video on so everyone can see. That's just wrong. Why don't we go that way?
Because I forgot where we were going.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! Okay, random thought
too many,
over.
Too many
random thoughts. Random thought is over.
I was thinking about the crickets.
Oh boy.
Writing tip of the paw.
So, that random thought, and it's all of its imperfections, including the fact that Sean wanted to do it over.
Hey, wait a minute. I did actually. But I have a bit of a imperfection in that myself. And that is about the fortune cookie. And it was the earliest 20th century, not the late. So, go ahead, baby.
Egads. He was wrong.
No, I just wanted to make sure I was mostly correct. Like, I don't care about being wrong. I'm not a perfectionist or anything. But I didn't want to be horribly wrong where your fans are like, dude, your husband's ignorant. Ignorant.
All right. So Sean is not a perfectionist. And perfectionists aren't perfect people. So Sean's lucky. Perfectionists are actually pretty miserable people. Seriously, think about it. There's no such thing as perfect. And if you're constantly trying to achieve perfection,
hold
what
on.
Happens?
I'm sorry to interrupt you again.
You always interrupt.
I said I wasn't a perfectionist. I never said I wasn't a perfect person. Okay, continue, baby.
I have to give up.
What?
I think I have to give up. Like,
why?
Because it's like so far from perfect now. Okay.
Hold on.
Do you hear the tension in my voice? Do you
Excuse
hear him coughing? All right.
Take two.
Okay,
roll,
so basically
baby, roll.
What I was saying is there's no such thing as perfect. And if you're constantly trying to achieve perfection, what happens? Misery happens. This is true for your life and for your writing. And the sad news is that a lot of us writer people are perfectionists, which means we are miserable. There's this great article on The Very Well Mind that has these 10 signs that you might be a perfectionist. And here are some of those signs.
An all or nothing thinking / attitude, since that's how I started it. A critical eye. I guess if you're always critical, you're. Push versus pull. I'm sorry. I'm ignorant. I don't understand that one. What's that one mean, babe?
We're going to explain that on the blog because we don't have time here.
That's not like half full, half empty, is it?
It's a little bit like that, yeah, man. It's like you're always pushing at stuff instead of pulling in. Pushing out versus pulling in.
Oh, right, yeah. People. Pull in. Pull towards you. Show some love. Okay, back to the list. Unrealistic standards. That's Carrie. She's choking. Or crying. Because she couldn't be laughing. Focusing on only the results, not the process, which is the fun part. I'm probably saying too much. Depressed by unmet goals.
A fear of
failure. Yeah. My brain locked up. Procrastination. Defensiveness.
You got that one, actually.
No. It's because I'm on this list so many times. Low self-esteem. That was the last one.
So those are the signs. So how do you overcome it? You recognize that you do it. You talk realistically to yourself. You practice looking at things from other people's point of view, which is what writers are supposed to do all the time. So basically, if we had all that gelled down to one writing tip of the pod, and to be a happy, healthier writer, is to recognize your perfectionism and realize that it's just holding you back. Allow yourself to be happy.
Why are so many... No. What would be an example of perfectionism in an author? like, strictly related to writing?
Well, my best friend Don, who died, but who was a brilliant writer and a creative human being, when we worked at the newspaper together, he couldn't get anything done on deadline because he crafted every sentence so much, and he wanted to make sure it was absolutely perfect, each word in the sentence, that an article that would take me 10 minutes to write took him 6 hours to write. And that's like a really gelled down specific example. And it was because Don was afraid of failure. He didn't want to do anything wrong. And he had like this amazing, unnecessary pressure on himself to be brilliant all the time when he was just naturally brilliant anyway.
Well, the reason I asked my question was because, as an author, you're writing to a wide audience. Like, take your example. Don's perfect, intellectually formed sentence, to me, I might pick that up and be like, oh, I'm done with this article after two sentences because it's boring to me. I'm ignorant. But if it was just middle of the road, kind of fitting everybody, instead of just the extremes, then, hey, I'm going to read it.
What you just proved right there is your personality, and that you prove that there is no perfect. There is no perfect for every person. There is no perfect for every reader. There's no perfect for every situation.
Right? Give me a high five.
High five! Because
that's what I was trying. That was weak. I can't even hear that. Try it again. No, come on. You got to pay attention. Look. Hit it hard. Oh, again.
No.
Please, sir, may I have another? But that
this
was
is why
my
your
point.
Can't
exactly.
This in front of her grandchild.
What? That's from Animal House. She doesn't even know that movie, and he doesn't, that's for sure. Anyways.
That was it. That was your writing tip of the pod.
Tip for life.
So, dogs, they don't get all hung up when they mess up one time or another. If it's all in play. Like, if their mess up isn't the kind of mess up where, like, their owners yell at them and they get in big, big trouble because they peed on the floor. But if they're, like, just doing something fun and spontaneous that's part of their doggy life, like catching a frisbee in their mouth, if they miss that frisbee once, they don't, like, go sulk and think they suck and do negative self-talk. They just go and grab the frisbee the next time, and they still enjoy it, and they're joyful, and they don't care.
That's true. Unless it's Sparty. I took him out for frisbee the other day. I threw it. He missed it. It rolled on the ground back towards me, and he sat down. He's like, dude, it's closer to you. He wouldn't even go get the darn thing. Anyways, finish, baby.
I can't, because you just contradicted my thing.
No. He wasn't mad. He was just being lazy. Because the frisbee literally was like 6 inches closer to me than him because how it rolled. He didn't care. He was ready to go again. And again and again, but he's so lazy, he wanted me to get the frisbee.
So the dog tip for life would be, if you're super lazy, you don't have to worry about being a perfectionist.
No, you
you're
said
not
going to
put the effort in at all.
He wasn't worried about messing up, which was your point. He could have cared less. He wanted me to throw it. He just didn't want to go get it. Maybe I misunderstood what you said, but I'm pretty sure you said that if a dog makes a mistake and it's not something he knows he's not supposed to do, like poop in the house, then it doesn't bother him. And he just keeps on rolling. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah, well, it's kind of what I said. It's about he just finds joy, or she, in the process, you know? She doesn't do all the negative self-talk and go, I suck as a dog, I might as well die. Which is what writers do. And people do, sometimes, when they're perfectionists.
Right.
So for the tips that go with this podcast, the actual written down intellectual tips, go to Carrie Jones Books, blah, blah.
I put in carriejonesbooks.com.
Then you kind of have to go to the tab on the left-hand side where it says dogs are smarter than people, too. It's all connected, man.
Carrie will also be at Book Expo America in New York City on June 1st from 11:30 to 12 at the Learner booth, signing copies of the same book, The Spy Who Played Baseball. A week before that, she will be in New York City presenting to the Jewish Book Council. She would love it if you came out and hung out with her.
And I'm also going to be on WERU Radio sometime soon. I'll update that when I know that. It's in May. Talking about books. Right. And we also have a really cool tongue-in-cheek like subgroup of postings on a blog about cooking vegetarian recipes as a writer. It's silly, but
they're good. And this is not really a vegetarian household.
Well, I was.
I am kind enough to partake in this experiment. And it's been really successful taste-wise. I mean, Carrie does her own magic with each dish. But she tells you all about it in the blog, so.
And we make it
they're
funny.
Really good.
Really funny.
You make it funny, man. All I do is eat.
You're so good at that.
Fun and tasty.
Anyways, for more information about the podcast or the books, check out carriejonesbooks.blog or Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the website. And you can find out all sorts of cool stuff there. But if you like us or you just feel badly for us, please subscribe and rate us high and share so other people can rejoice in the dorkiness that is us.
Us?
Us.
Party on, Garth.
Oh my gosh. I can't do that. Wait.
Why not?
Because I don't remember.
Party on, Wayne!
Party on! Oh, that's so loud.